Hey, everyone. Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.
It's time for your March Madness fix.
Clock, baseline, up for the shot, good, off the glass, the game is over.
Gonzaga, the slipper still fits.
It's over, Michigan has won a national championship.
I got a feeling.
Holy mackerel, holy mackerel.
Tonight's gonna be a good night.
The shot, yes,
the shot by Tate George, wins it.
Williams could tie it with a three. He does. Oh!
Smart takes the shot.
Oh! Indiana wins the championship.
So now Valpo's going to have to go the length of the court.
All I need is a miracle.
It's to Jenkins. It's to Drew for the win.
Gone.
Oh!
They did it.
Bryce Drew
did it.
Valpo has won the game. A miracle.
One shining moment you knew.
Wittenberg. Oh, that's a long way.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up.
Yes! Kamara gets it ahead. Cooper out in front of everybody. Gets it to Katie Dunn. Her shot is up. No good. And the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame have won the national championship.
It is 8 minutes after 5 o'clock, and Budweiser's weekday sports beat is on the air on 960 AM WSBT, streaming live at WSBTradio.com, and on our free WSBT Radio app. We even have the Twitch app up and rolling, a video feed of our studio. And in that feed, you will see Eric Hansen, the Hall of Fame writer, publisher, a Swiss Army knife of the InsideNDSports.com website, covering Notre Dame athletics as part of the Rivals Network.
I'm the executive chef of our website.
Yeah, you kind of are, right? Now, if you just wore a cool hat, you know, while you were editing online, that would be pretty cool. You need a good hat. In fact, I have a suggestion. Sometime you should try a video chat.
Well, we kind of do that with Football Never Sleeps.
Yeah, you
sleeps.
Do. That's true.
That's true. Kind of a video chat because we do take questions.
You do take questions.
And we take compliments. If you want to get on the air, that's the way. Especially if you make fun of Tyler and compliment me.
Oh, that's the real way. Okay. Duly noted. We now have broken the code.
Which is hard because I'm usually the one that needs to be made fun of.
No, not at all. Not at all. He's Eric. I'm Darren. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday, March the 27th of 2024. 2 hours of sports beat coming your way. Eric with me for the first hour of the program. We're going to talk about Notre Dame injuries and spring practice in our opening segment. Later on, we'll discuss the wide receiver position at Notre Dame that got maybe a little more interesting today. We'll get to that in just a little bit. We have our sports beat, InsideIndySports.com, Twitter question of the day, the results from yesterday and today's question. Also, the South Bend Tribune's Anthony Anderson's going to hop on the program in the 6 o'clock hour to talk some Notre Dame women's basketball. I have my National League predictions today. We went America League yesterday, and I was really hard on my favorite team and my predictions. So we'll get to those coming up in a little bit, and our sports wagering segment wraps up the program here on WSBT Radio. Let's get the program started with our opening topics. And Eric, we begin with Notre Dame football and the Irish dealing with some key injuries on each side of the football. You could argue two of the more important players on this Notre Dame football team are on the sideline right now. Now, this is old news, of course, but this is Eric's first chance to talk to you about his thoughts. to Riley Leonard undergoing a second right ankle surgery to deal with a developing stress fracture, which means, I think for anyone to say fairly, he's out for spring practice. Maybe we see him at the tail end, but I'm not banking on that. If he does, surprise, a good thing. Otherwise, I mean, considering the surgery and considering how long this has been going on, it just feels like spring practice is the least of his concerns at this particular time. So let's begin just how you feel about this, Eric. I had a question about this on Twitter earlier this week. Are you freaked out? Are you concerned? Are you worried? How do you put into perspective when you heard the news and what it means going forward for the quarterback position?
There are positives for the team and some negatives for the team with this. The positives are it really gives you a chance to develop the other three quarterbacks, especially the two younger ones. Kenny Minchie and C.J. Carr are going to get a lot more reps. In fact, today they got all the reps because Steve Angeli was sick, so he wasn't at practice either. So those two got a lot of reps. Where it's a detriment is you start to be, I think, if Marcus Freeman's timeline is correct, you're going to still have plenty of time to form chemistry, learn the offense, and all that kind of stuff. But you're not doing it in the context of spring football. You're doing it in summer workouts. You're doing it in fall camp. And you're definitely pushing back the timeline of when you can name a starter. Because I think even if you're as coaches that you think Riley Leonard is the better option, the team needs to see that. They need to see that play out on the field. You don't want a divided locker room, and you want to be, you know, really sure about it. But, you know, it's unfortunate. Again, if that original timeline, if he's 100% by the end of April, even if they don't bring him back to do anything, if he's just, you know, cheering his teammates on in the blue gold game, that's fine. But if this is something that lingers into July, for example, like Deion Colsey last year, when he got hurt, he had a knee scope. Oh, I'll be back in the middle of October. It was December. So you just never know. Now again, it's different parts of the body, but you know, I mean, this ankle thing has been going on since September.
And you wonder, did Duke do him a disservice by getting him back out on the football field?
Well,
it could
I
be
think,
debated. And I mean, he was out quickly after his surgery at Notre Dame, too. He was out there moving around.
Well, and I think that was his choice, too. I mean, he wanted to come back and play for his team and help his team. And so, I mean, some of that was, you know, Riley wanting to be a good teammate and stuff. So and he's competitive, and so we'll see. I mean, I think it's, you know, easy to say, oh my gosh, this could go on forever. Well, guess what? I mean, the good news is you got really talented 2-3-4 right now. As I mean, somebody asked me on my live chat today, can you remember 1-4 this much talent? And I mean, even when you had Jimmy Clausen and Dane Crist at the top of that, you didn't have four deep. So I don't remember. I mean, I would have to think long and hard about when there was 1-4 like this.
With the situation we have right now with Leonard on the sideline, you look at it this way. You got Mike Denbrock as your offensive coordinator, a veteran guy. And I've said this a couple of times this week, but if we had a second-year offensive coordinator dealing with this, I would be a lot more concerned. But right. With Mike, been there, done that, it's going to be fine. Yeah. The other part of this that's encouraging, and you started to go down the path a second ago, if this happened a couple of years ago, I'd be more freaked out because of the lack of quarterback depth and overall quality, even at the top of the depth chart.
Yep.
But now you touched on it, And Jelly was out sick today, so Kenny Minchie was running the number one offense, and Carr moves up to the number twos. Marcus Freeman has changed the complexion and the direction of Notre Dame quarterback recruiting, and it is showing at this particular time. I think there'd be a lot more concern in the Irish nation if this happened a couple of years ago, knowing what you had behind the starter. But now you've had a glimpse of Angeli, and you feel pretty good about that, and you've heard great things about Minchie, and you've talked about you think C.J. Carr is going to be a tremendous player here at Notre Dame. This just feels totally different. And again, I trace it back to Marcus Freeman putting a stop to mediocre handling of quarterback recruiting. And now look, you're getting in premier transfer portal talent, and you're getting premier high school talent into the program, something that was not happening the previous years before Marcus took over.
Right. I mean, you've got Deuce Knight in the next class. Oof. Then you've already had most of the top 2026 quarterbacks already have visited Notre Dame at least once. And there was at least one of them there today. So you're getting the very top of the top showing interest in Notre Dame football, which, again, is where Notre Dame needs to be if it's going to compete for a national championship. They need to be elite at quarterback.
Beyond what I just said about not being panicky or freaked out about where we're at right now because of the depth at the quarterback position, I will say this. It may be more frustrating or disappointing, but this is missed opportunities for Riley Leonard to continue to learn the offense, build chemistry. And I know you can do that in Hawaiian shirts and shorts in the summertime, but this is...
It has to be Hawaiian
yes,
shirts.
Yes, of course.
Though. Okay.
But this is a bit of a missed opportunity and a chance to continue to grow and to continue to show what he can do as possibly the starting quarterback for this football team. We have spring practice for a reason, for everybody to get better.
Absolutely.
And this is truly a missed opportunity. Now, when we get to August 31st, first game of the year, if he's the starter, he's going to have enough time
yep.
to work with these guys. But I do feel like learning the offense, and he's not a complete quarterback at this time, the miss reps is a little concerning. But again, I think we feel good about Angeli being around just in case something happens down the line.
Riley Leonard was at practice today. He had one of those knee scooters, so he came in on that. Then he was on crutches, and he did throw a couple passes. So.
You have to.
Absolutely.
Hey, there are cameras there. You know, you gotta show what you can do a little bit, right?
Yep.
Off-balance throw on one foot, not a problem. Not a problem at all. But we have touched on the opportunities for the other quarterbacks, and this is – you don't want it in this – situation with Riley Leonard being hurt. But Eric, even a guy like C.J. Carr, who's the furthest down the food chain at the quarterback position, I mean, worst case every day at practice, he's working with the threes. So he's going to get opportunities to get better in practice. And who knows what's going to happen in spring practice. Like today, Angeli being out, everybody moves up a spot. So these are golden opportunities for these guys to continue to grow, and a chance for Gadooly and Denbrock to put more eyes and more information into their brains as they continue to prepare for, who knows, down the line it might be their shot.
Contrast that to Brian Kelly's first spring as head coach. He comes in, Dane Crist is coming off major surgery and actually was months ahead of schedule, or he wouldn't even been in spring. He has to talk 17-year-old Tommy Reese into quitting his basketball team and enrolling early. And then the other option was Nate Montana, who
only
by
one
Brian
person
Kelly,
believed in him.
Yeah, right. By Brian Kelly not elevating him beyond third-string status resulted in a cold war between Brian Kelly and somebody else. But
And that person wouldn't do a national interview with me at halftime.
Is that
because
right?
of the Cold War, yes.
Okay.
He did not want to talk.
So, I mean, and there's been some other springs like that. So this is really Notre Dame can really take advantage of this opportunity. Gino Gadooly looks like he could still play. So maybe if he colored his hair, he could sneak in and into the offense if they really needed him.
So if there's any Irish fan that's a little freaked out right now, don't be. Don't be yet.
Right. Don't be yet.
Don't be yet. Now, if Riley enters fall camp with still injury woes with the ankle, then we have a reason to have a different conversation. But right
about
now,
Riley Leonard, but I still think you feel good about the talent on this team at quarterback.
And that might play into the Twitter question of the day.
Okay.
In just a little bit. Eric Hansen, Darren Pritchett with you, Sports Beat on WSBT Radio. The other injury note, Benjamin Morrison, the outstanding cornerback for the Fighting Irish, entering his junior campaign. He is now done for the spring, but it was an arthroscopic shoulder surgery that sent him to the sideline. This is a kid that played tremendous football last year after an All-American freshman campaign. Again, I go back to him denying Marvin Harrison the football in that Ohio State game. He was spectacular in that matchup. This goes into a different category. This is kind of cleaning up of a shoulder, so hopefully it won't be a problem going forward. This is a guy, Eric, that is understands the defense. His techniques and his talents are in a really good spot. So this is a young man that can withstand missing 7 or 8 practices in the spring. This kid's in a really good spot.
He is, and Notre Dame's cornerbacks are in a really good spot. I realize that, you know, again, the first practice people read and heard that there were walk-ons getting some reps down the depth chart, and that's because a couple of Notre Dame's cornerbacks aren't yet on campus. But Notre Dame has 9 cornerbacks when you count nickel Jordan Clark.
9 times.
And I think if Notre Dame felt like this was going to be a longer-term injury than what it sounds like, we would have seen a different alignment today in practice. We would have seen Christian Gray and Jaden Mickey on separate sides. They were still competing with each other, and Clarence Lewis moved up and was taking Ben Morrison's reps, so, which is typically Ben Morrison is on the same side as Clarence Lewis. They play the same position, so I think they feel pretty confident about this. Again, with injuries, you'd never know people ahead of schedule, behind schedule, but I think they feel pretty good about this.
Okay, so that's a little update on some injuries involving this Notre Dame football team. So when Eric and I call the Blue Goal game on April the 20th here on WSBT Radio, we won't see Benjamin Morrison, and I would say it's a greater than 75% chance we will not see quarterback Riley Leonard, but we're still going to have fun with Angeli and Minchie, and oh yeah, that CJ Carr guy is going to be playing kind of in his first Notre Dame football game. Yeah, it's a scrimmage, but still, they're wearing gold helmets, so it counts in my world.
Okay.
All right. Next up, let's talk some Notre Dame women's basketball. The Irish in the Sweet 16 after beating at home Kent State and Ole Miss. What stood out about the victory over Ole Miss, who came into the game with a reputation of a team that can really hurt you with their interior post players? But, Eric, did that zone defense that Neil Ivey installed, was that something that took away some of the strengths of that Ole Miss team?
It did. I mean, Ole Miss still out-rebounded Notre Dame by 5, but the zone just absolutely thwarted Ole Miss. And they were a team with a lot of size, a lot of depth. They couldn't wear Notre Dame down. They couldn't get them in foul trouble. They couldn't make outside shots, which they haven't all season. They're one of the worst three-point shooting teams and least prolific three-point shooting teams. They don't force the issue. They're like, yeah, we're not good at that. And so they couldn't – and they are one of the best teams in getting teams into foul trouble and getting the free throw line. But they couldn't get their dribble drive. They didn't have their driving lanes because the top of that zone was so sticky – with Hannah Hidalgo and either Sonia Citron or Anna DeWolf up there. And then Nat Marshall did a heck of a job in the interior. So did Maddie Westbeld. And Notre Dame just took that game from the start. I mean, they absolutely punched Ole Miss in the nose. And it took them until the fourth quarter for them to really – try to put together a run, and they could never get the lead back under 10. So hats off. I mean, that was an impressive performance by Notre Dame, and they deserve to go to the Sweet 16.
Where they will play in Albany, New York. I've called hockey games in that building, and it's not very spectacular. I'm kind of disappointed. I feel like the women need to be in a better, classier building than this, because there's two regionals there.
Yeah.
This was the place, if you remember a couple of years ago, the Irish scored the game-winning goal with a half a second left on the clock, and then there was a 20-minute review because the game clock and the TV clock were different, and they were not in sync with the green and red light, and it was just chaos. So I'm hoping things are a little better this time around. But yeah, it's not a great building, so I'm kind of disappointed, but who cares? The Irish are there. They'll take on Oregon State in a 2-3 matchup. The Beavers coming out of the Pac-12, and this is a team, Eric, that came out of a really good Pac-12. I mean, USC, Stanford are quality basketball teams. What's an early read on the team the Irish will face Friday at 2 o'clock on Live 99.9?
Well, I mean, there's five Sweet 16 teams from the Pac-12, the conference that's going bye-bye.
The Conference of Champions, as Bill Walton would say.
Oregon State, there's a lot of interesting things about that team. One is they've recruited well. They have two sophomores that are McDonald's All-Americans. Tamia Gardner, who's 6'3 and shoots threes. Reagan Beers, who's 6'4, was an All-American, not on the first team, but second and third team kind of All-American. One of the best shooters in the country, shoots 67% from the field, not an outside threat. So they have some size. They have some talent. They are not a transfer portal team. They are not built on the portal. They are homegrown team with their star players, all recruits. Notre Dame is largely the same. I mean, they plug some holes with the portal, but they are an outstanding defensive team. They're eighth in the country in field goal percentage defense. Shoot threes like crazy. Their Achilles heel, where Notre Dame really has to attack them, is with pressure. They are one of the worst teams in the country in turnover margin. Everything else they are really good at, but they don't force turnovers, and they turn the ball over too much. But they will get in your face and make it difficult to shoot. They just don't turn you over. So it's really going to be interesting to see the effect Hannah Hidalgo has on that team with her drives and also with her ball pressure. Now, they're not going to be able to sit in a zone for very long against them. They're going to have to mix up the defenses against Oregon State, which could put you into foul trouble.
Eric, is this truly the first game that might cause problems for Notre Dame because of how short their bench is?
I mean, both of the first two games had the potential for that, and Kent State actually did get Notre Dame into foul trouble. Notre Dame played a lot of man in that game, and they did have some foul trouble. Possibly, I mean, I think Westbeld and Marshall are the two that you worry about because you don't have replacements for them. At least if one of the guards gets in foul trouble, you've got K.K. Bransford, who plays a lot, so you have a spare part. Actually, K.K. was the one that was getting fouls on Saturday or Monday. It can. I mean, I think more if they win this game, and they are favored to do so. They're a 3.5-point favorite. If they have their rematch with South Carolina on Easter Sunday, that's where, whew. I mean, that'll be interesting. I would have loved to seen that game just to see if there was any difference with Kylie Watson. I mean, that's – you can already feel her not being there, but Nat Marshall played a heck of a game. I mean, career high, she's doing career highs in minutes, new career highs every game. She was at 35, but 5 assists and 0 turnovers. Those are little things that you get from a player making her first starts of her career. Mm. So that was big. But I think Notre Dame, especially if their guards can kind of control this game, I think, can neutralize the icky stuff. It's just when you get to South Carolina, it's like,
that's a different.
What do you take away? I mean, they're good at everything.
You hope they miss.
The only thing they're not really great at is free throw shooting, so you hope they miss ones. But they're playing Indiana, and they're 16-point favorites over them in a Sweet 16 1-versus-4 game.
It's tough to wager against South Carolina at this time, especially the way they scrapped against LSU. I mean, they can handle themselves in non-basketball situations, too.
It was funny. I got a text from a friend of mine that doesn't follow college basketball, at least women's, that close, and he was like, who do you think's going to win the women's bracket? And I'm like, oh boy, this is a hard question.
All right, Eric and Darren with you, 5:32. One more opening topic. So if you've listened to this program through the years, and I apologize, of course, for all the times that we talk about our favorite team, the St. Louis Cardinals, but they're in the same division as the Cubs, so it comes up in conversations. So we lived through a miserable 71-win season last year. First time being under 500 since 2007. I mean, that's a remarkable run. But boy, did it end with a thud last year. And the Cardinals' main problem was lack of quantity and quality of starting pitching. I mean, it was a disaster. And as we go into my question, I'm not quite sure they're going to be that much better off. So let me ask it this way.
Okay.
Tomorrow is opening day for Major League Baseball. The Chicago Cubs are, I think, across the board, more people are saying they are the favorite to win the National League Central, while our St. Louis Cardinals are a bit of an enigma at this time. What do you expect out of St. Louis this year?
My expectations are that I'm glad that I signed up for my free MLB TV subscription through T-Mobile.
Okay.
So I did that.
You have to pay for the garbage is what you're saying?
So that's the extent of how invested I am in St. Louis. That's how confident I am that I'm not going to have to get real invested. I invested nothing to get free to watch them on TV. I just don't have confidence in the front office. And honestly, I'm not crazy about the manager either. It's like, really? That guy got another shot?
Just, I want to say this really quick. Don't mean to interrupt your rant that was building.
Okay.
But the next time someone on the Inside ND Sports message board starts ranting on the coaches and stuff, I'm going to remind Eric that he's just here ranting on ownership and management right now. You sound like an Irish football fan on a chat.
Well, I mean, if Notre Dame had the same record as St. Louis, I would expect that. Or yeah, same winning percentage as St. Louis. I think
it's
that's
a proud franchise.
That's fair. I mean, when they're, you know, I mean, there are times they're going to playoff games and people are upset with them, but
well,
but I need to be convinced. I need to be
convinced.
That's
fair. Yeah. That's very fair. Well, I have very low expectations for this year. I'm a diehard. I was watching every game, even in September, when they were atrocious and had no chance of doing anything. So I'm really invested, and I'm just absolutely disappointed that this proud franchise has gone from being the franchise that outsmarted a lot of teams for many, many years to becoming an absolute disaster in decision-making. And it's just hard to understand how you go from one extreme to the other. They said, well, we had to try something different this year with starting pitching, so they signed Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn, two guys who have not pitched well in years, which makes zero sense. Sonny Gray made sense. But I know this is an argument that is not fair, but it's being kicked around by Cardinal fans. The fact that Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn were signed for $24 million, and you could have Blake Snell for $32 million or Jordan Montgomery for $25 million. that just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. So I'm extremely disappointed, and I think
me for nothing.
That's right. I think it's going to be a long year again. I really do.
This is probably, I mean, people are probably bored to tears listening to me talk
about
this.
Oh, Cub fans are laughing, thinking, ha, 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 yeah, they're going to stink again.
But this is normally how invested I am in the Cardinals. I'll watch tons of their games on MLB TV, and I would have paid for that. I will go to a couple of games in a summer. But beyond that, I not only know all the stats for the Major League team, when I'm invested, I know all the minor league guys at every level, who the guys are that are really good at every level. I look at those daily when I'm fired up about baseball. I don't even know who had a good spring other than Victor Scott II, who almost didn't make the opening day. Okay.
I'm just out of my mind frustrated at this. I feel like a Cub fan pre-2016. The frustration, like, what are we doing? What are we doing? All right, at least we have an awesome theme song, which is the sponsor of SportsBeat, Budweiser.
All right.
It's the bottom of the eighth inning at Busch Stadium. You hear this. Budweiser, the king of beers, locally distributed by United Beverage Company of South Bend. Sports fans, this Bud's for you. We are also brought to you by Bethel University's Adult and Graduate Studies. Visit betheluniversity.edu/solidground for details. First State Bank, committed to being a premier financial partner, First State Bank demonstrates and delivers hometown values. Midland Engineering Company, beginning their second century of quality roofing experience. Bethel University Athletics, sign-ups for youth summer baseball or sports camps are underway. I got baseball on the brain. Visit bupilots.com for details. And Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, now with three locations, serving Michiana's most favorite pizza since 1978. The Notre Dame wide receiver position, it's very interesting this spring, and is a guy that I thought was going to be a difference maker on special teams. Could he also impact the receiver room? We'll have that conversation and more coming up in just a moment. He's Eric Hansen, the publisher and editor at InsideIndySports.com. I'm Darren Pritchett, and this is Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on Sports Radio 960 WSBT, streaming live at WSBTRadio.com and the free WSBT Radio app.
Notre Dame football coverage continues now.
What's the score?
Nothing.
Who's winning?
The Bears.
Co-hosting this hour is the publisher of InsideNDSports.com, Eric Hansen.
He batted Chad Clay. He batted Sugar Ray. He batted now who that? You, the new boy had Mike Tate look like a bulldog. He batted him too.
Here's your host, Darren Pritchett.
I don't know who that is.
.544 at WSBT. So we've been on Twitch now for a while, live in studio, and oftentimes when I leave the room to go edit something, I'll put "be right back" up and the screen is black. Well, I left it on during that last commercial break, and Shorty has mentioned on Twitch, you boys talking about the great Willingham years during the break? Must be, because there's lots of laughs and yawns.
I was up really early this morning.
I was too, but no, we were not laughing about the Willingham era. I played for Eric an old Cardinal broadcaster, Mike Shannon, soundbite. So that's what we were laughing about at that particular time. But that's a good guess. That would make sense, actually. All right, let's get to some wide receiver conversation. Eric, I want to just start with a soundbite from Marcus Freeman recently talking about the wide receiver position. Last year they had a lot of slot guys. Is this a more balanced wide receiver group?
Yeah, I think, you know, each guy has probably a natural skill set. Hey, am I a slot guy? Am I an outside receiver? The ones that are versatile are the ones that are going to have opportunities to help you at multiple different positions. And that's what you see with a guy like JG, you know, Jaden Greathouse, is that his skill set was probably, as he came in, built to be in a slot But he had enough skill set to help us on the outside. And so Faison right now is probably more of a slot guy. Jaden Harrison is more of a slot guy, you know, and some of those other guys are taller, longer, JT, Jaden Thompson, so those guys. But again, the more depth you have, the more opportunities you can say, okay, hey, if your best skill set is to be in a slot, stay in a slot. Okay, but at the same point, the more versatile you are, the better opportunities you have to play.
The Irish do have some good options in the slot at this present time. One of them is a pretty good lacrosse player in Jordan Faison. But the outside, I think, I need to be wowed a little bit. I want to ask you about one player in particular, Eric, because I sort of labeled him when he joined the Irish, and I'm talking about Marshall transfer receiver Jaden Harrison. Based on his stats at Marshall, he didn't seem like he would be an impactful guy at wide receiver, but his special team return ability is electric. He could definitely impact the Irish on special teams. Based on what you have seen so far in fall camp, what do you see from Harrison, and is there any chance he might have been a tad bit underutilized at Marshall? Again, we don't know the depth chart at Marshall. I'm just speaking in generalities.
Well, I mean, in the one practice that we saw, the entire practice, which was way back on March 7th, his speed stood out. Now, again, you're not tackling, you're not, you know, a lot of the drills are designed for the wide receivers to shine over the defensive backs, but you have some really good defensive backs on Notre Dame. So I was impressed. I'm like, ooh, this is a little bit better than what I expected. And so he's kind of that whole vibe of better speed in the wide receiver room that you're getting. So the thing is, he is at a position where there are a lot of good options. You mentioned Jaden Greathouse, Jordan Faison, and then Logan Saldate will be coming in June. So there are a bunch of good slot receivers, but I am impressed. I'm intrigued to see if he can be more than he was at Marshall as an offensive player.
Hmm. Interesting. Very interesting guy. I think he's going to be fun to watch on special teams, no matter what happens at the wide receiver position. I'm going to ask this question, and I'm going to say to Irish fans, it's still way too early for a definitive answer. So I want to be fair. With that being said, from the small sample size, and again, a small sample size of seeing the wide receiver room, can you argue that the 2024 wide receiver group has the potential to outplay the 2023 group? And we lost a great player, Enrico Flores Jr., to the transfer portal. I think he could have been an impactful guy the next couple of years. He's gone. They brought in new people. So based on small sample size, are you convinced at all that this year's group will be better than last year's group?
If they're healthier, yes, just by showing up. But I'd say the area where the one position where I want to be a little bit more convinced is that field receiver, which is a really important part of opening things up for everybody else. So who's at the field receiver? You have Chris Mitchell. He is the transfer from Florida International. You have Cam Williams, a near five-star freshman wide receiver. The guy that was kind of lighting it up today was K.K. Smith, the kid from Texas that was a three-star recruit that was injured all of last year until the bowl game. And
forgotten.
Then, yeah, ran on the field in the bowl game, and that was about it. And he was back doing some return work, punt return work today too. He ran out with the ones today. It was just interesting to see him because he's got a burst, but we need to see that against, you know, in competitive periods, which we will later in the spring. We'll have a chance, the media, meaning us, we'll have a chance to see a scrimmage before the blue and gold game, where we see more competitive periods. But yeah, I like the numbers, and I know we're going to talk about another player that could further dial up the wide receiver room here in a minute. But, yeah, I like where this is headed. I want to see more.
We're getting short on time, so let's just go to where you were heading down that path. I think you were talking about a freshman wide receiver who continues to catch everyone's attention during spring practice, and that is?
Well, that was Micah Gilbert, and the other place I was going to go is running back Jeremiah Love playing some wide receiver today. And Dylan McCullough was asked about this. We talked to the wide receivers coach and the special teams coach and then players from those groups today. So that's who was on the docket today. And so it was timely. Why was Jeremiah Love taking some wide receiver reps today? And the reason is Mike Denbrock thinks that he was underutilized as just a running back, especially with all the other running backs they have. He is one of the most dynamic speed players on this team. So why? And he wants to learn those receiver skills. So instead of saying, just go run a go route, teach him the nuances of playing wide receiver so that when you maybe have two backs in a game and he does split out, he is a mismatch even for some cornerbacks, not just for a linebacker or somebody, but even for a cornerback. That intrigues the heck out of me. And the fact that Jeremiah Love is on board with this, I think it's really interesting. If you remember when Mike Denbrock was here last time, he liked to do those spring experiments. And the best one ever was CJ Procise moving to running back, because that was supposed to be, let's take a look and move him back to wide receiver. He never moved back, and he had a 1,000-yard season and ended up getting drafted by the Seattle Seahawks.
Mike Denbrock is back. Quarterback position is intriguing, and the wide receiver room has some electricity. This is going to be interesting.
It can all be undone or enhanced by the offensive line.
I was just, you stole my thunder. I was going to say, if the offensive line comes together and who is healthy at the tight end position, this could be, as they say, very interesting. But the offensive line is a massive piece and a massive question. And you know what? I would say we had the same uncertainty about the defensive line the last couple of years, and it turned out great. So maybe this ends up the same way.
I'll tell you what, the defensive line is deep.
Beasts.
Yeah, there's a deep.
Cross depth. And Mills back. Good luck to
you. And you think about the guys that are coming up behind them. I mean, when Tyson Ford is a fourth stringer, you've got some depth.
Probably a starter in a lot of places, actually. Don't go to the portal. I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just saying. He's Eric Hansen, the publisher and editor at InsideIndySports.com. Read all about Notre Dame football from Eric and Tyler at InsideIndySports.com. Next, our sports beat, InsideIndySports.com. Twitter question of the day. Results from yesterday. The question centered around Riley Leonard. Today's question centers around Riley Leonard, ... That's coming up next on WSB.
This is the Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat Twitter question of the day from Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
All right, 5:58 at WSBT. I'm Darren Pritchett. He is Eric Hansen, the publisher and editor at InsideIndySports.com. Covering Notre Dame athletics as part of the Rivals Network. And we have a sports beat, InsideIndySports.com Twitter question of the day to talk about. First, the results from yesterday. So the day before, Monday, I asked, are you freaked out about Riley Leonard needing another surgery? Are you concerned? And concern got 39% of the vote, or worried got 39%. So I followed that up by asking this question yesterday. 39% of people who voted said they're not worried about Notre Dame quarterback Riley Leonard undergoing a second surgery on his right ankle. What is the biggest reason why you voted that you're not worried? Okay, so I was kind of curious to see why so many people were not worried. So Eric, I offered these four choices. Choice number one, there's plenty of time before game one August 31st for Riley Leonard to get healthy. Choice two, Steve Angeli is the backup, and by saying that, I'm assuming people are confident in his ability. Choice three, the overall quarterback depth, or number four, I said other, and I asked them to specify why they voted that way. So before I give the results, how would you have voted?
I actually did vote.
Okay.
And I voted for quarterback depth.
Okay. Well, coming in fourth is other, 1.4%.
I wouldn't have voted for that because I would have had to specify.
Well, David said he voted that way because it's all going to go to blank anyway.
Oh, okay.
So he's very negative about.
David's having a bad day.
He did. Bobby said Angeli looked really good against Oregon State. What if he's the better quarterback? Oh, hold on. Dramatic.
I don't even know who that is.
And Tim said Riley Leonard isn't as good as Angeli, would be backing him up anyway. So that's why he voted for other.
Okay.
So there you go. So that was fourth. Third in the voting, 19.4%, Steve Angeli is the backup.
Okay.
Second place in the voting, 21.5%, Eric and that group went with quarterback depth.
Okay.
And according to you, the voter, on Twitter X, if you voted, you're not worried about Riley Leonard needing a second surgery. What's the biggest reason why? 57.7% said that first game is a long way away on August the 31st amidst the 12th man at Texas A&M.
You know your branding has gone bad when everybody has to refer to your product and include the old name of the product, Twitter, X.
Yeah.
Nobody calls it just X.
I feel like I'm just trying to bring the generations together. Those that know Twitter and those
to.
That call X.
I there's nobody that calls it X other than the person that named it X.
Elon.
Yes.
Or whatever his name is.
Well, his name now is going to be Y. We're going to name him Y because why did you do this? And it's the letter after X.
So this is kind of like Prince using a symbol
exactly.
as his name. Mr. Musk is going to be now known as Y. I'll let him know, and I'm sure he's going to be very concerned. And because you gave him this great idea, you might get a Tesla out of the deal. Who knows?
He's going to say, I don't even know who Eric Hansen is.
All right, here is today's question. In capital letters, if, should I do air quotes? If, and hopefully this is not the case, if Riley Leonard continues to have injury problems, can Notre Dame make the 12-team playoff with the ticket of Angeli, Minchie, and Carr? Yes or no? Would you like to play or pass?
I'm going to play.
Okay.
I had to think of my answer.
I feel like I'm on Password Plus right now. Super Password. Go ahead, Betty White.
I actually watched the new Password that Jimmy Fallon's
yes.
on. Yeah.
It's okay.
It's okay.
You need Betty White, though.
Yeah, you do need Betty White.
She was the master.
She's no longer with us.
Yes, of course.
We'll have to have a seance
I'm fully
to
aware
have her
of that.
Participate.
Okay. I mean, Charlie Chaplin, is he available? I don't know.
Okay. I said yes. I think their chances are better with the Riley Leonard that I think Riley is going to be. But I think between those three, I like the talent and I like the offensive coordinator and I like a lot of things about this team. If you could guarantee me that the offensive line was going to be top third offensive line in the country.
Oh, I'll take that.
I'd feel pretty good about this team. Because the defense is going to be very, very, very good.
I'm going to read a couple of responses already.
Okay.
From this question. I know you got to go here. Tony says he voted yes. Honestly, I think there's enough talent and the defense is good enough to make the playoffs with any of them. Carr would be more difficult being a true freshman, but he's looked solid. Marvel added a twist to the question. The question was, could they make the playoffs with Angeli Minchie Carr? Marvel says make versus win. So he's saying, all right, make the play, but can they win a playoff game? So that could be the next step in the question next week on our Twitter X.
We just keep going on with the question.
Of the day.
And then if it's a full moon and winning a playoff.
We're going to drag this out until the solar eclipse.
Until Riley Leonard actually comes back. And then we'll have a different set of questions.
They need to have practice during the eclipse. When it gets like isn't it supposed to be 90% dark during the day here? That would be cool to have lights.
I think they moved the practice. They were going to practice on the 8th. They've moved it to the 9th.
Okay. I think that would be cool to practice at noon in the dark with lights on. That'd be kind of snazzy. It'd be like playing summer baseball in Alaska. Is it summertime it gets really dark there quick?
No.
Is it the other way around?
The other way around.
Okay.
Yeah,
no.
It's...
Never mind.
It's almost always daylight in Alaska in the summer.
So if you're curling outside in Alaska in the wintertime, you're going to need lights at 1 o'clock. Something like that. All right. Enough of this mischief. Let's play the music, which signifies... Eric is going to tell you about his product that he's very proud of. InsideIndySports.com, covering Notre Dame Athletics as part of the Rivals Network.
And tomorrow, when I have the code, we'll actually go back to offering a free 30-day trial. So, tune in for tomorrow, and we'll give you the code. But right now, we have my chat transcript up from the live chat earlier today. Tyler James has a notebook from Notre Dame running backs coach Dylan McCullough. So if you want to read a little bit more about the Jeremiah Love getting the look at wide receiver and what Dylan had to say about that, we've got that. We've got all kinds of videos from Aeneas Williams, Jeremiah Love, Marty Biagi. We have video highlights from practice today. And we have our last podcast. We had Hannah Hidalgo as our guest, the star of the Notre Dame women's basketball, one of the stars of the Notre Dame women's basketball team. And Darren, you know what? There's always much, much more.
That's always the best part. We will see you tomorrow at 5.
Sounds good.
That's Eric Hansen from InsideIndySports.com. I'm Darren Pritchett. The conversation continues in a couple of moments. Anthony Anderson from the South Bend Tribune is going to stop by and talk a little Irish women's basketball on WSBT.
Hey everyone, Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.